In this chapter of Brahma's prayers to Lord Krishna, in the previous verse without purport, Brahma is overwhelmed with deep gratitude in his heart for Krishna. You can come lately, because many devotees are sitting outside. Yes. You can move like this. Very similar to what Dhruva felt after he got the darshan of Lord Vishnu. He felt, what a great fool I was that I came into the forest in search of some broken pieces of glass. But now that I got your darshan, my dear Lord, I don't want anything. I'm satisfied simply by your darshan. Prabhupada explains, in Ishopanishad, he explains that the most conditioned living entities, they are simply satisfied meddling with matter, meddling with the Panchamahabhut, taking the things of this world, manipulating them, giving them different shapes, different forms, or simply meddling with material bodies in the material world. They are just satisfied with that. They do not know anything beyond. They don't even raise their head or eyes to see up. Whereas those who are Brahmavadis are impersonalists. They go beyond this world, but all they get to see is only the effulgent light, the Brahma Jyoti, the effulgence of the Lord's body. They don't see anything beyond that. And the yogis, they are able to go one step beyond the jnanis, because they see the material potencies of the Lord. Lord has many material potencies which are exhibited by the Lord through his three Purushavatara forms. Like Mahavishnu, he creates all the universes. Then Garbhadaksha Vishnu is called as a collective super soul. Why is called as a collective super soul? Kshiradaksha Vishnu is a super soul. But Kshiradaksha Vishnu comes from Garbhadaksha Vishnu. So Garbhadaksha Vishnu is also called as Hiranyagarbha, or a collective super soul. Then there is Kshiradaksha Vishnu, who occupies every atom and the heart of every living being. So the yogis who go beyond this universe and worship on the personal form, they get to see the three Vishnu Tattva, because they know the material potencies. Omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. We say about God, omniscient is Paramatma. Omnipresent is Garbhadaksha Vishnu. Omnipotent is Mahavishnu. So they get to see these Vishnu Tattvas, because they only see the material potencies of the Lord. But one who goes beyond the material objects of this world, one who reaches a stage where he can not only see material potencies of the Lord, but he can also see the spiritual potencies of the Lord, there he gets the darshan of Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna's devotees, they can see that Krishna has spiritual potencies and material potencies, and he is the source of the spiritual and material worlds. And the highest stage of actually seeing Krishna is to fall in love with him in spontaneous love. That is the highest. That is attained by the devotees. So great personalities like Brahma, after describing all these verses, you find he himself was trying to test Krishna, and now he is realizing Krishna's greatness. But here we can see from the appreciation that he is giving here, his deep felt gratitude. Just like Putana, along with her brothers Bakasura, Raghasura, and all, came to kill Krishna, whereas Krishna delivered them all by his mercy. So this is very heart-rending, heart-touching to Brahma. Actually, great devotees in Bhagavatam pray about the glories of Krishna. But one of the glories often that is quoted by Vaishnavas is the prayer of Uddhava. Aho vakiyam stanakala kutam jigamsa japa yadapi asadvi lebhe gatim dhatim uchitam tatonyam kamba dayalum sharanam brajema. That is the verse. Kamba dayalum sharanam brajema. Who else should I take shelter of other than Lord Sri Krishna, who is so merciful even to the one who came to kill him by poisoning her breast? Who is that? Bakiyam, sister of Pakasa, which is Putana. Actually, whenever anybody harms us or even insults us, we feel very pained and we cannot tolerate them. And we harbor some malice for them or we try to do something back to them. But here is Krishna. Somebody is trying to come and kill him and he is making her the nurse in the spiritual world. So that is why this verse is very much appreciated by Vaishnavas very much. Because this talks about the merciful nature of Krishna. Krishna's merciful nature. How Krishna can... This is the limit of compassion. Limit of mercy of Krishna. So no one should consider Krishna to be cruel-hearted or hard-hearted, that he has sent all the living entities to the material world to suffer away from him. So in the same way, Brahma here is quoting this example to say, so what is left for you? To give this word, here he is saying, you have already arranged to give yourself to Putana and her family members. So what is left for you to give these devotees of Vrindavan, whose homes, wealth, friends, relations, bodies, children, lives, hearts are all dedicated to you? He is saying that you already gave yourself to Putana and others. Now these Vrindavan vasis, it's not that they just have had a relationship with you or encounter with you. They love you. They have given their lives to you. They are giving their hearts to you. So what are you going to give them? That means what he is trying to say is that Krishna is such a Lord who becomes overwhelmed by even a little bit of service on the part of the devotee. Even if a devotee does very little, Krishna becomes too much pleased by that. So much so that even with Bakasura, Agasura and Putana he is so pleased. He has given them such great positions in spiritual world. So Brahma is saying, if you are giving like that, then what are you going to give for the Vrijavasis? You know what Krishna said to Vrijavasis? Na pareyekam, he said, I have nothing to give you. Because your love is so great that I can only with empty hands say that I have nothing to offer you. Be satisfied with your devotion. I can only give myself to you. So Krishna offered himself to the Vrijavasis. That's why Prahlad Maharaj says that he is actually trying to convince his demoniac friends, trying to make them into devotees. He is telling them, my dear demoniac friends, in this world, he says, it is very difficult to please either one's family members or nation or citizens of the same country or the society or friends. It's very difficult to please. But it is not very difficult to please Lord Narayana, he says. Prabhupada explains how it is more easy to please the Supreme Lord than pleasing the family members. Like, for example, a practical example, one of the boys, he had a desire to join the ashram, he wanted to join, somehow he couldn't. There were too many family responsibilities. So he was torn between the two. Being the only son, at last he decided to, help the parents. So he thought, let me help the parents and after some years I will think of. But then his mother got terribly sick and he went home, he stayed with her and took care of her for some months. Then she got well. But then she said, no, although I have got well, you have to get married and be with me. So he was not very keen in married life, but he wanted to marry just to please her. He thought that now my mother will be happy. And the parents told him, we don't want anything from you. First they told him, even if you don't marry, we don't mind, you just stay at home, they said. So when he went home and took care of her, when she got well, what did she say? Now you marry and we don't expect anything from you. We already have our own house, you can just stay with us. And when your wife comes, she will take care of the household activities and mother-in-law can be free. And in this way, we don't expect anything from you. Take a simple job, And you can make an altar, devote all your time to Krishna and everything. And he precisely did that. But after that, when he got married, then the parents became very annoyed with him. What is the use of your simple job? They said, now, you know, you should learn to stand on your own legs. You should purchase a house. And we will help you to get a loan. They got a loan for 15 lakhs for him. So now he got a loan for 15 lakhs. He purchased a house right next to parents' house. And they told him, you cannot buy a house anywhere far away. You have to buy right next to us. You should be live here and we will live here. So that we can see you time to time what you are doing. Like that. Father and they can watch you. So he took a house right next door. Just to please his mother and father. And now he got a house. Now he wanted to make a beautiful marble altar. And his mother said, no. Now if you make a big altar, then all your devotees will start coming here. So we don't want to have any program at all here. Once in a week, go to temple, 5-10 minutes, take darshan and come back. Other days you should be at home. You should inquire about us, about our well-being. Father has got to say about his arthritis, pain, his feeling in the leg, and his whole business is suffering. So you should take care of father's business. And I am here at home, why am I here? And you should take care of me. So they reminded him, he took a house. Now he took 15 lakhs loan, now he has to repay it in another 20 years or something. He has to pay it back. So, even after this, he got a teaching job in a college and they were saying, what is the use of your job? What is the use of your being an engineer with this teaching job earning 13,000, 14,000? Just look at your friends who are from the same town. They are going abroad. They are earning so much money. Now, they told, now you are married now, settle, no problem. We will take care of your wife here. You go to America now. Earn a lot of money and come. So, he had to go to America, they are doing push from behind. So, once on a wedding we were selling, Prabhuji, in this world we cannot please our relatives and friends. We were selling. Family members, you can never please them. Because every time you fulfill their expectation, it keeps going up. You fulfill this desire, it goes up. Fulfill this desire, goes up. It keeps going up like that. There is no end only for that. They are always dissatisfied. No matter how much a man works hard and brings wealth, facilities, resources to home, nobody is going to appreciate. And this is a world of competition. They always compare. Now you are in one status, when you uplift yourself to another status, then you compare with people of that status. Isn't it? And then when you go from there, then you have to aim higher. So there is no end in this world. You cannot satisfy people. And even if somebody tries to satisfy the citizens of a nation, like Gandhi did, Gandhi tried his best to bring about cooperation, unity in the whole nation. In a day he used to work almost 16-17 hours, minimum. Some days he would be awake for 18 hours. He would travel from village to village by walk, explaining people about the glory of India, trying to bring about unity between Hindus and Muslims. And what is the result he got? As a result of that, he was shot dead. You can see. That's the benefit he got. In this world, no matter how much you work hard, sincerely, to bring about a solution for peace by some material arrangement, that can never happen. On the other hand, Prahlad says, it is much more easy to please Lord Narayana. Just like when Ajamil, who was such a sinful rascal, who had committed such abominable acts by bringing a prostitute to home, kicking away his wife, throwing away his old parents who were in old age. Such sinful things he did. He begot 10 children in the womb of the prostitute. And he deserves to go to hell for severe punishment. Such Ajamila, at the time of his death, when he was about to be bound by the shackles of Yamadutas, he just called out Narayana's name once, helplessly. And that too, not addressing Lord Narayana. Simply thinking of his small son Narayana. He called, "Hey Narayana!" That one word, immediately he was delivered from the Yamapash, from the ropes of death. And he was given a second chance for 12 more years to practice Krishna consciousness. That is why it is said it is very easy to please Krishna. What did he do? Did he do anything for him? Did he do anything, any service for Krishna? Just a small thing, calling one name. That is why one Vaishnava is praying that one should, in the morning, one should always say Govinda, Govinda, for every small thing. Actually, This is very traditional in India. If some people, you stumble, then say, "Hey Govinda." And afternoon you should always say, "Hey Krishna." In evening you should always say, "Hey Madhava." I don't know the timing, why this particular timings are given, morning, afternoon, evening. Probably Madhava means husband of goddess of fortune, because you're getting money from the office, I think. I don't know. You should not speculate anything. But he says, the morning, you say always when you get up in the morning, whenever you have faced any problem, or good or bad, both times you can say, "Hey Govinda," he says. Afternoon you say, "Hey Krishna." So, some people say Ram Ram, they say, it's very common in India. So, simply uttering one name, one makes little progress. Spiritual progress by calling out the Lord's names. And the Lord is very benevolent to His devotee. Somebody may say, "You are talking about God, He is so difficult to achieve." And a great Vaishnava in one of His songs, he prays like this. He says, somebody may say, "We are like lame people because we are conditioned souls. And God is too great to be achieved. He is like a big elephant." Now if you tell a lame person, there are no legs for a lame person. He is sitting on the ground. If you tell him, "Climb on the top of the elephant," so he may say, "How can I climb? Not possible for me." But he sings in the song, he says, although God is like a great elephant, still, although we are lame, He is like an elephant who sits down, so that the lame man can easily climb on the top of him. Similarly, Lord is in the spiritual world, although He is very great, He still comes to material world as an avatar, offering Himself, lending Himself for the benefit of the conditioned souls. He says like that. So He says, which a fool will not take advantage of the Lord's pastimes, which He mercifully reveals in the scriptures by performing them in this material world, in such a condemned place as material world. So He says, just like a lamb, if you take a lamb, lamb can be used for reading a scripture and getting enlightened. But the very same lamb can be used by someone with a vicious mentality to burn someone's house. One can do that. Similarly, if there is a lake or a pool of water, a pond, one can, in a holy river, there is a holy body of water, one can go and take a dip in that and get completely purified and in good consciousness come out and render more spiritual activities. And a fool who has no understanding of difference between body and soul, he can go and dip there and commit suicide because of frustration in the material world. Similarly, he says, the Lord is the same person. It depends on the individual how one takes advantage of His mercy, by which one can gain benefit by His association. In this way, pleasing the Lord is very easy, Prahlad says. It's not very difficult. On the other hand, pleasing the people of this world is very difficult. They are never going to be satisfied with you. In fact, according to Bhagavatam, it is said if one pleases Lord Vasudeva, and if Lord Vasudeva is pleased, then even the adhiras will become pleased with you. All the ruffians as well as gentlemanly people, they will all become pleased with you. If you please only Lord Vasudeva. Yasya prasanno Bhagavan, that's the verse in Dhruvamara section we were reading some days ago. If one pleases Bhagavan, then everyone will become pleased with you. On the other hand, you try to please everyone, nobody will be pleased with you. This is the formula. Try to please everyone around you, try to convince them, try to prove to them how you have done good. You will see that there are so many parents who are trying to make their children understand. But the children don't obey their parents many times. And people who try to bring about peace by material arrangements, they are never able to bring about. There is only quarrel in the society. But then one, just like Prabhupada, for example, he went abroad and preached Krishna all over the world. And he has brought glory to the lives of over a million people in the world. You can see that. On the other hand, politicians who are working hard to bring about peace, that never comes in this world. So, here, as Brahmaji is asking, is glorifying Krishna with a heart full of gratitude. It's very important for a devotee to feel such gratitude to Lord for whatever the Lord has given and whatever He is giving. A devotee should be very, very grateful. If one has such appreciation for the Lord, it's very easy to remember Him. It's very easy to call Him. It's very easy to cherish the things that He has given. And such a person can be situated in very good Krishna consciousness. And then in this most famous verse, second verse, it says, "My dear Lord Krishna, until people become your devotees, their material attachments and desires remain thieves, their homes remain prisons, and their affectionate feelings for their family members remain food shackles." Sometimes a person living in the household thinks that if I perform my duties at home perfectly, then I am a very intelligent man. Like for example, you know, water only comes at certain times. You have to fill up water in all the buckets very intelligently. This is the time water comes. You have to exactly know, open the tap and fill up all the buckets and all the big burthen, small burthen, everything, and keep it ready, isn't it? And exactly knowing when to pay the bill so that there will be no interest on the bills. I have paid the bill in time. And we have, some or other very intelligently, we have got a very good job for our son. And we have got a very good match for our daughter. We got such a family. We are a small family, but we got a big fish. We got a big family for our daughter. So a man considers himself a grand success in life. Like that. Similarly, somehow, with our neighbor, we quarrel with them and we got that extra veranda for our family. So in this way, a householder sometimes thinks I am a very great expert in running the sansara, running the material world. But such expertise is never appreciated in the scriptures. Because these are all done very intelligently by animals also. Animals also take care of their offsprings very well. They also defend and drive out the other animals. Many times they also do that. Yeah, they also plan for the future. If you see the ants, you know, they don't come out in the rainy season. They know there is danger outside. But they store in another season. They store all the food in the hole and keep it ready. So when rainy season comes, they can just close the door and nicely eat and sleep. They don't have to worry. So just as we do savings, some Jivandhara scheme for retirement, it's not a very big thing. Anybody can do that. Even animals are doing it. They also have their schemes. They also plan for their schemes. Planning for eating, sleeping, mating, defending is no great thing. Every animal, every bird, every species, they all are doing that. So that is a totally mundane thing what you are talking. One step higher than that is explained here. This is performing religious formularies like dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Like somebody is doing dharmic activities. Namely, you know, worshipping some demigod, doing some yajna, or calling brahmanas and doing some puja at home. We read Satyanarayan puja, we read the Pudushkada puja. Many puja people do. Sometimes the motive, you can keep the other So sometimes people do such pujas to simply show other people, to impress other people that we are also very religious people. Sometimes you go to some colonies and, you know, they have a big mantra going on. And then people of the, you know, family, they are very proud looking, or our neighbors watching us. All our neighbors and the colony people, everyone should know that we do pujas in a very elaborate way, and they should become impressed. Not only people try to impress others with their cars, with the new house they purchased, with the new facilities they have, they also try to impress using religion, religious formularies, that we are very strict about religious principles, we follow these things, they want to show. So, doing dharma for the sake of earning artha, or earning artha for the sake of enjoying kama, all this is condemned. There is a verse by Prahlad Maharaj which I would like to recite. Oh, I didn't bring it with me. Anyway, Prahlad Maharaj says, that when he talks about pleasing Lord Narayana, he says, this dharma, artha, kama, moksha, these four things, when people do, this is only more and more entangling. That's a famous verse by Billamangal, Thakur says, Mukti, Mukulitanjali, Sevate, Asman, Dharmartha Kama Gataya, Samaya Pratikshaha, he says. They all are waiting. Dharmartha Kama Gataya, these gatis, these three gatis, there are Samaya Pratiksha, they are waiting in the long queue. Next to Mukti, Mukti is first waiting with folded palm, Mukti Mukulitanjali, Sevate, Asman, for a devotee. And then behind Mukti, Dharmartha Kama, they all are also waiting. If somebody doesn't even want Mukti, then why are they going to accept Dharmartha Kama? You can understand. So he is telling his friend, my dear friends, it's very difficult for one to understand this Pancham Purushartha, which is Bhakti. Some or other, if you can understand this Bhakti, he says, I can tell you this Bhakti is the only transcendental path. Transcendental means the spiritual path. And all the others are all the material paths. Dharmartha Kama, even Moksha. These are the moksha also condemned by Vaishnavas. Although it is beyond the material world, still it is condemned. It's a bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakale ashanta. Krishna bhakti nishkama ati ashanta. The eighth offense against the holy name also talks about this. One should never think foolishly the chanting of the holy name is similar to doing these religious formularies or chanting of the Vedic karmakanda mantras. It's like a difference between earth and sky. Karmakanda mantras are done in order to gain some material benefit or to be elevated to heaven or to get some facilities for enjoyment. Whereas the holy name is done purely with the desire to achieve only love for Krishna. So the holy name is aimed at getting Krishna himself. Whereas the karmakanda and all these things are done to get the energies of Krishna, resources of Krishna. It's a difference between you loving your father and loving your father's pocket. That's a big difference. If somebody says, what is the difference? Loving father or loving father's pocket, it's the same thing. It's foolishness. Loving your father's pocket means you have no love for your father. You are doing all kinds of drama in front of him only to get some money from his pocket. Whereas loving father is different. As Krishna says, in that verse, Tasam Brahma Mahat Yonir Aham Bija Pradaha Pita. He is the father of every living being. So, just as a father and son can very easily develop relationship with one another. Just like, for example, father always plans something for the son. In any home, it's expected. The father spends for the son and plans for the son what he should do. Similarly, Krishna spends on us by giving all the resources of the material world so that we can take them and utilize them properly to return back to him. And Krishna also has planned out a life for us in the material world by giving the scriptures, by sending devotees, by making Arja Vikraha and temples, and by sending the holy name to this world and everything. So it's very easy for one to use his resources to take shelter of Krishna. But if one foolishly thinks that, my father is a moneyed man, he's a millionaire, so I will trick him and I will enjoy his pocket, I will enjoy his estate. But he doesn't have any love for his father. What a fool he is. Because if he loves his father is anyway going to write off the whole estate in his name only. It says the Dayabhat verse, isn't it? What is Dayabhat? He's a rightful heir. Rightful heir means, he is the son and father is a millionaire and father is actually going to write off everything in his name. But foolishly he thinks, no, before he writes off, I should try to plunder him. I will take his riches and enjoy. He's a fool. Such a person is a fool. So, that is why he says here, see, interesting thing. Thus, one should not consider oneself highly religious simply because one performs ordinary domestic affairs very enthusiastically, but without Krishna consciousness. Like people going to office, as you can see, sometimes they are very enthusiastic. That enthusiasm is technically called sense gratification. You can see that. They think we have done this, we have done that, we are very great. We have done this project, we have done that project. Our company has earned so much money. We are flying here, we are flying there. Last year our profit was this, this year this profit is there. All this is a big zero without connection to Krishna. Because it is not much different from the enthusiasm with which Hale and healthy dogs, sometimes they fight. It's not much different from that. Sometimes you've seen a very healthy dog fighting and driving out other dogs. It's not much different from that. It's very similar to that, if there's no connection to Krishna. Such a world. You see, compare the Duryodhana and Arjuna. Duryodhana is fighting, Arjuna is fighting. Duryodhana has chariot, Arjuna has chariot. It's very similar. They use similar weapons also. They both are powerful. But when Krishna is not there, then Duryodhana's, all his efforts are simply useless. So, this is a very important point. One should not be simply enthusiastic with ordinary domestic affairs. That's why he says, the attachments that one has at home, like attachment for things, attachment for money, attachment to the relatives and friends, one can become strongly attached to these things. Like Prahlad Maharaj also says about that. He says one can become attached to wife, one can become attached to sweet, children who are speaking sweet words, one can become attached to furniture at home, one can become attached to servants who are very faithful and loyal servants, one can become attached to bank balance, and one can become attached to home itself. People feel great attachment, especially to home which they have built. You know, they cannot tolerate somebody, you know, even hitting a nail on the wall. If somebody is hitting a nail on the wall, they feel boom, boom, my heart, somebody is hitting with a hammer on my heart. Like, you know, one owner in Pune, he gave a house to some of our boys. So our boys got the base, and it was an individual bungalow. We were very happy, so we weren't have any problem from the neighborhood and everything. It was an individual bungalow, we can be happy. But then we found morning his wife will come to supervise how we are living there, and evening he will come to supervise how we are living, and they will see every small thing. Hey, don't, you should not put it on the wall, you know, you should not do this, you should not do that, tap should be closed nicely, the light should be put off, you know. And whenever not needed, you know, that should be kept like this. All the time they were simply moving behind our boys and telling them. So our boys are feeling so much problem. Like, you know, you can't do anything there. They say, you know, don't keep it here, don't keep it there, smoke will come here, don't put this. So they are completely, it's called micromanagement, we call it. They were doing micromanagement of the whole. How we should take care of the flat, they were guiding our boys. And our boys got frustrated in a month and ran away from there. So we send them to another place. Some people, because some owners are too attached to their home. For them, the flat is like this body only. Like what you feel with the body, your body. Like my flat. Like that they feel, very similar. You may wonder how can one become so attached? Not very difficult to understand. If I can become so attached to my body, why can't I become attached to the flat? It's just the extension of the body. Same way one can become attached to the extension of the body, namely wife, children, mother, father, relatives. Very tight knot. Very tight knot. That is why Tavad Ragadayasthenaha. They are called as the thieves. The material attachments and desires, they become thieves. Why? Because they steal away the wisdom that is given in the scriptures. Even if you learn it, sometimes it just doesn't cross your mind. Like Shankara prays in one of the prayers, he says, Kamah krodhascha lobhascha dehe tishtanti daskarah jnanaratna apaharaya tasmat jagrita jagrita. He is saying, jagrita jagrita, wake up, wake up. What? Wake up from what? He is saying that, my dear friend, you have somehow or other attained the wisdom of the scriptures, and now you have it with you. But it seems that you are a little bit falling asleep. You are careless. But mind you, there are three thieves who have come, who are engulfing you from all sides. Who are they? Kama, krodhascha, lobhascha, dehe. Dehe means they are there in the body, these three. Trividam narakasyedam dwaram nashanam atmaha. Kama, krodha, tata, lobhas. Tasma, etat, trayam, tyajet. Krishna says. Same thing he says. Kama, krodhascha, lobhascha, dehe, tishtanti, daskaraha. Daskaraha means thieves. Jnana, ratna, apaharaya means they will steal away the wisdom that you have. Tasma, therefore, jagrata, jagrata, be awake, he says. Don't be careless. These three thieves, you have to be very vigilant. with these three thieves. So attachment is also like that. The attachment, nature of attachment is it will weaken our heart. The nature of material desires is that it makes our heart very weak. And when the heart becomes weak, we know what is right, but we are unable to do completely. This is the nature of material desires. You know this is the right thing to do, but why don't I do it? I can't do it. You are weak. This is like a popcorn bondage. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, you know, popcorn bondage. Once a fellow, there was a big pillar, and this fellow was too hungry. Now he was leaning on the pillar like this. I'm hungry. He was shouting like this. So people are passing by. So many people. Nobody helped him. At last one wealthy merchant was passing by. He took pity on this fellow. He thought, let me give him some popcorn. He purchased some popcorn and he wanted to give him. Please eat this. So this fellow, putting his hand on either side of the pillar like this, you know, he was asking, please give me. So that man said, how will you collect the popcorn? Or even if you collect it, how are you going to enjoy it? Better you get away from the pillar, show both your hands together, I'll give. So he said, no, I am too tired. My body is too weak. You give me like this only, I will manage, you don't worry. You give it to me. At last the merchant had to give because his fellow was not ready to get off the pillar. So he got in both the hands. And after getting from both hands, he was trying to eat it like this, but he could never reach the hands, he said. So both sides of the pillar. Similarly, if one is attached to the things of the material world, that is called as, that's a pillar of the material world. One is hooked to that, one is attached. And the merchant who is giving is the devotee, who is giving association. A devotee is giving association, giving knowledge, giving wonderful things. Prabhupada is offering so much for the people of this world. Take it. Prabhupada used to say, you know, take this project, you know, grow it, develop it and enjoy it. Prabhupada used to say like that to some of his disciples. What you have to do? May make a wonderful temple. There is deity of the Lord, there are shastras are there is holy name is there, devotees are living, prasadam is there. Everything is arranged. Whatever you need, you will get. You don't have to work hard. Simply chant, dance and be Krishna conscious. So he's offering. But how are you receiving the popcorn? Not ready to leave the pillar. And you receive, you are unable to taste it fully because of the bondage we have. That is the ragadaya. Tavad ragadaya. Tavad ragadaya stenaha. And they are saying, Brahmaji is saying, Tavat Karagriham Griham, he is saying. Karagriham Griham means the house becomes like a jail. Like when you are walking in the street, you can see sometimes a big house, a palatial bungalow, and a big door is put up. Huge one. You have seen that? They put a board, beware of dogs. Already a big dog picture is put, beware of dogs. So they don't want anyone to come in. So if a sadhu wants to go and tell them some words of wisdom, they don't want to hear. Big board. And it's a big house, maybe a few people are living inside. But it is not much different from a jail. If you go to Aravada jail, or if you go to the house of such a person, it's not much different. Why? Because such people are living in posh bungalows, but they don't have any knowledge of Krishna. They don't have any knowledge of soul or God. Nor do they want to hear from anyone. So they already posted a dog there to drive out the mendicants when they come. So these people, on the other hand, if you see a poor man may go to a temple for darshan and he may hear from sadhus and may gain some benefit, gain some advantage. So if their homes remain prisons, they are saying, if one makes the home the goal of life, which means there are people who make the home the central goal of life. All the time they talk about the family affairs. Like the woman will be talking about how to increase our jewelry, how we can have more necklaces. Oh, when will the time come when I can accumulate enough money to purchase that one beautiful necklace which I have seen in the shop? Isn't it? They're thinking about necklaces, they're thinking about silk saris, they're thinking about. So these are traditional I'm talking about. So we can talk about modern also. When will I get the microwave oven? Or when will I get a fridge? When will I get a color TV? Or when will I get a bigger individual bungalow? Why I don't have to live in a flat? So the women can be contemplating on this. And men also can be contemplating on bigger job, bigger salary, bigger enjoyment. Let's go on a world tour here and there. Just enjoy life. Let's call all our relatives and have fun in the vacation and show them how rich we are. So simply the home becomes the center. Like Prahlad also says, For such a man, he is like a play toy in the hands of a woman, is it? He simply becomes like a play toy. So he thinks, I am able to provide all these facilities to a woman and I am able to win her heart. But actually he is simply a play toy. She is dictating and he is acting. Maya is dictating him through her. Like that. And such a person, house is a home. Home is such a strong center for many people. They simply keep talking about home. When they go to office also, they call up from there. They talk to their child, they talk to wife, talk to relatives. When they are at home, they talk about home. Home is the center. And if at all they get some little free time, they go to clubs, they go to some park, simply to talk about the future, things that are to be done in the family. Again, family. There is no God there at all. There is nothing to give and take with God. Even if they go to some temple during marriage or anything like that is simply a ritual. Simply saying that, okay, we have to go to the temple of God to please our grandmother and grandfather. They are old people, we don't want to hurt them. They are telling that, you know, after marriage we have to go to the temple. They don't even know which God is standing there. You just go to the temple for the pleasure of grandmother and grandfather. Yeah, this is the family. So it is a karagriham. It is simply a jail in which such people are put like thieves. And they are saying, Tavad Mohongri Nigado. Their affectionate feelings for their family members remain foot shackles. You know this foot shackle? Foot shackle is used for catching the lions in the forest. They drive it into the ground. And it's like a buckle kind of thing. When the lion comes and keeps his foot there, chuck, immediately it's caught. So sometimes Prabhupada would say the soul is so powerful. Like once they saw a lion in a cage, and some devotees are teasing the lion, and Prabhupada told the devotees, don't tease the lion. He's a poor fellow. Although he's king of the forest, now he's caught up in a trap. So already he is insulted. And you don't unnecessarily ridicule him and trouble him more. In the same way, the soul is like that lion. Soul is very powerful and pure. But now he is trapped in this body. And the shackles of the three mortal material nature are bound are all around him. So here they are saying, the affectionate feelings that one feels for the family members become foot shackles. That's like the buckles which catches the lion. They are not able to leave home because the foot shackles are holding them there. Some people, even after retirement, it is very difficult for them to leave home. Even after becoming 60 or 65, just come to temple, render seva, be with devotees, just chant Krishna Rama Govinda, go back to Godhead. Such a nice life they can lead. And they can see so many young boys, they are 20 years, 18 years, they are leaving everything, leaving such lucrative jobs. They have degrees, they have left the lucrative jobs, they have left their parents, they have not married, brahmacharis, they are living in the ashram. And if somebody is 60, already you had 2-3 children, you begot them, you raised them, you got them married, they all are settled very nicely. Now wife is, old and you are old. So just come to temple and whatever little energy is left in the body, use it in God's service. Bad. 60 years they have spent in simply manipulating things in the material world. Because of which it becomes a deep impression in their heart. So it's very difficult to give up. Even if they come here, the mind is at home. And there's no one at home. There's only wife. All children are gone here and there, all got married and settled. But Prahlad says, a father always thinks of the daughter very much. Why? Because the daughter is given in hand to another man. But he's always worried that man should not become antagonistic. He should not beat my daughter. He should not become angry with her. Or if he asks for more dowry, she will come back home. So the father is always worrying about the daughter. He loves his daughter more than the son. And he's thinking of the home, that I have this property, what to do with this property after I die. My children all are abroad, who is going to use this home? He's thinking about the home, he's thinking about the wife, he's thinking about the diseases in his body, thinking about this property, that property. Some people say, even after becoming 60, they are thinking, oh, life is boring. I want to take something else in my life. Maybe I'll take some LIC agency and I'll go and go door to door, meeting people, requesting them to do something. What I'm telling is a real story. One of my uncles, he is now 66 or 67. So he says he has nothing to do, his life is boring for him. I said, why don't you chant? He said, what is this, taking a mala and chanting Hare Krishna all the time? This is too much. He was surprised when he saw me chanting 16 rounds. He said, this is too much. He said, I want something dynamic. At what age? 67. Yeah. So he wants to. So I told him, okay, you just stand one round and come to a temple. I said, there is Vanaprastha Ashram opening in our temple. Come and join. Yeah, they don't want to be dynamic in Lord's service. They want to, so he's trying to take some agency and, you know, he wants to start some new business now. Life begins at 70 for such people. So, you can see that they are very enthusiastic for material activities. And the affectionate feelings are very difficult to give up because they have systematically cultivated it and developed it over the years. And now it's not possible to give up. It's not very easy. Especially you have seen people, after they grow beyond 50, 60, for them to leave their town and go to new places is very difficult for them. They love their birth, place of birth or place of stay. They love their home. The affectionate feelings are deep rooted. That is why Prabhupada says that once you take brahmachari training, before even if one wants to get married. Because what happens in brahmachari life, one gets a taste. By living in the ashram, chanting with devotees, dancing with devotees, taking prasad, one has tasted the life of renunciation. To sleep in a simple chatai, wake up in the morning with everyone, you do all these activities. After leading such a life and gaining, you know, the taste of renunciation, there is a pleasure that one gets. Like Bhakti Goswami writes in his book, you know, tight schedules, early morning, late nights, all the book distribution. And then he puts a hyphen and says, pure bliss. So, when one gets this pure blissful life, experience of this, and then enters into grihastha life, if one wants to at all, then what happens in that? Very soon he develops a distaste in material life. And quickly he wakes up to the reality. He understands, alas, I thought there is some fun here. This is no fun, that's fun. That was real fun. And then very soon, by 40 or 50 only, he is thinking, when is the Vanaprastha stage coming? So they come to ashram and start asking, Prabhuji, Vanaprastha, when do you allow Vanaprastha? You want to join very soon, 45 or 50 years. Just join very easily. One can very easily give up and join Vanaprastha ashram and then take sannyas if one can. Like that. So, these feelings of attachment that is being spoken here, this moha, is very difficult to overcome. But the scriptures, although they condemn moha, in the Vaishnava literatures, if you find, there's a very important information about this attractions and attachments that is explained in the Vaishnava literatures. Mayavadis and impersonalists, they condemn affection, attachment, attraction to the material things. They condemn it very, very strongly. And they try to tell people that you have to give up these things, you have to become completely desireless. If you have to approach Brahman and attain the state of tranquility, shanti, 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 to attain that. So they ask you to destroy these feelings. They want people to become desireless and empty their heart completely. But Vaishnavas, they don't say that. Vaishnavas say, you need some substance of emotions. You need feelings. You need attachment. If you have attachment to the material world, it's very good. Why? You have to just take a about turn now and go in the opposite direction now. Like for example, if you have a vehicle, car going in one direction, you can divert the direction, right? See, somebody has to go to Bombay and you find him going towards down. What you have to tell him? Just take a about turn and go in that direction. Then they can go. Similarly, already somebody has feelings. Somebody has emotions, somebody has attachments and attraction. So if you remove the object of their attraction and put Krishna there and tell them, see, this is the person you have to love, not that, then somehow or other, if they are some kenapye akki bhagya, it is said, by some unimaginable good fortune, that person also agrees, okay, instead of loving the objects of this world, I will love Krishna. Then one can, doubting the same feelings, in Krishna service, beginning with attraction. Attraction turns into affection. Affection turns into attachment. And attachment turns into separation. So it goes like that. Attraction, affection, attachment and separation. In this way one can develop a very deep-rooted love for Krishna as the Brijabasis had developed. A practical example is a Billamangala Thakur, who had a great attachment to a prostitute called Chintamani. But once on a rainy day when he had some or other came to know that she has left the town, she has gone to her some other place, and then he went to that place on the rainy day, then he climbed up the wall and catching some rope, which he thought as a rope, it was a snake, he caught, and he crossed the river catching a wooden plank, which he thought of as a wooden plank, which was a dead body. After all these things, when his body was having bruises all over, it was torn in different places, it was bleeding, and he came to mother, she's in the top, she's in the top of the house. So he crossed over the wall and then he climbed up the top and he broke open the window and he got into the window and he fell in front of her. Chintamani, I have come to meet you. And Chintamani looked at him and said, what a shame. Why are you so lusty? Why are you so attached to me? If only you had a similar attraction for the Lord, even a bit of this, you would have achieved the kingdom of God long ago, she said. And this was like a lightning for him. Because sometimes when a person is suffering, at that time you give him some good knowledge, it sinks in. Like one father had lost his small son in an accident. So he had come to meet me. So then I was speaking from the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, telling some stories from Bhagavatam. So when he heard that, he said, I could understand every word of yours. It was just sinking in my heart. He was very thankful. He said, now I understood everything. Now when I go back, now I will chant the holy names regularly. Because when a person has a proper platform, it's like, you know, he receives it very nicely, like a fertile land receiving a seed. So in that way, when Billamangal received this instruction from her, he said, Chintamani, what you are saying is perfectly true. My guru is speaking through you, he said. Now my guru is calling me to surrender to Krishna. I am going right now. He left her and went on to become a very great Vaishnava. He wrote so many literatures. He is worshipped by all of the Vaishnava acharyas as one of the greatest acharyas in our line. Billamangala Thakur is a very great devotee. So he had that attachment to a woman, but that he doubted it in Krishna's service and he became a great devotee of Krishna. Similarly, the Brijabasis, apparently they are leading household lives. They are churning butter, they are milking the cows, they are cooking, they are tending to the children. They are doing very simple village activities. But Vrindavan is not an ordinary village. Every sand particle in Vrindavan is Chintamani. It's a gem, it's a transcendental gemstone. Every tree is a desire tree, which can offer you any fruits you want, any time you want. Every cow is a Surabhi cow, which can offer any quantity of milk and any time of the day you want. And Krishna is the center of Vrindavan. That is the main speciality here. So, when the attachments are dovetailed in Lord's service, the very same attachments can liberate us from this material world and take us back to the spiritual world. In fact, Narada Muni, in one of his verses, he says, Gopya kama bhayat kamso veshat chedya daya nrupa sambandhat vishneha snehat yatha yuyam yuyam yatha vibho. He's saying five types of relationships. He's saying Gopya kama. The gopis of Vrindavan had such intense love for Krishna that ordinary person would think of it like lust. Like man's attachment for woman is very strong in this world. So that is called as lust, we call it. But the pure love also is equally intense. It's very intense. But the magnitude is opposite. The magnitude is the same, but direction is opposite. What is opposite? In material world, one is lusty to enjoy one's senses selfishly. Whereas the gopis had such intense love for Krishna to serve him. So he is saying, Bhayat Kamsa, Kamsa had Bhaya, intense fear. Similarly, Shishupal had intense envy. So in one place, Narada Muni glorifies Shishupal. Can you imagine? In Bhagavatam. He is telling that these asuras, we should take the dust of their feet. Because the intensity with which they remembered the Lord, even we cannot do that. We bhaktas cannot do that. He is saying like that. about himself. Of course, out of humility he is saying that, not that we should start going to the demons and bowing at the feet. But what he is saying is that kind of intense remembrance of the Lord with feelings for the Lord. If one can fortunately develop that, then such a person can be even a householder. With one pastime I would like to conclude. We have already exceeded the time today. 5 minutes I'll conclude. There have been great kings who are Raja Rishis. While living apparently household life, surrounded by ministers and elephants and horses and hundreds and thousands of people worshipping them every day. In the midst of all of that, such kings, like Janaka for example, they have always led very pure Krishna conscious lives in their heart. Because they were fine devotees of the Lord. So they were never attached to the things that are surrounding them. They could clearly see that all things are temporary around me. But I am a pure soul. I am a servant of Krishna. It is said once Janaka, he used to every day hear the katha of the Lord. So one day, he didn't come in time. Of course, the Brahmanas who also used to come and hear the katha, they were very proud. So sometimes they used to talk, this Janaka is a king, he is very attached to his material affairs. Today you see, the katha has started and he has not come. And he is so late, probably he is too attached to his queens and attached to the material affairs. They were talking like that. Janaka would sometimes come a little late. And the Brahmana Pandit who would read, he would wait for Janaka to come. Not because, you know, he would lose the remuneration or the salary, that Janaka would become angry with him. No. He would wait because he knew that amongst all the people who would hear Bhagavat, who is the person who would hear with greatest interest? That was Janaka Maharaj. He knew that. So he would wait like that. So, one day when Janaka came a little late and they were all hearing. So suddenly an announcement came that there is fire, fire everywhere in our country, my dear king. And the king said, don't shout, don't worry. Go to the minister, put a word to him, take a troop and go and settle the fire. He said, and he sent those people off and said, okay, please continue the katha. And he was hearing. And the Brahmanas, they heard the fire, fire. Immediately they jumped from that place, taking their angavastra, catching their dhoti, they started running away. Let us go and see our hermitages, what happened. Ran away. So, then next day the Pandit told his Brahmans, just see, you are all very proud of your Brahmanatva, proud of your Vedic chanting. See this Janaka Maharaj, how detached he is. So, there had been many Raja Rishis in the past who led such lives, like King Kulashekara. All his prayers show the extent of devotion that he had. And physically he was present in the court. But spiritually, mentally, he was always absorbed in the leela of the Lord, pastimes of the Lord. So in his court, always the Brahmanas would read the Ramayana Katha. His ministers were also observed that Kulashekara many times exhibited raging love for the Lord in his heart. So when he would be hearing Ramayana Katha, his whole consciousness would be completely driven into Ramayana. He would forget the externals completely. So one time when he came to know that Ravana came in disguise as a mendicant and stole away Sita and flew to Sri Lanka, when he heard it, immediately he stood up and shouted, called all the ministers and everyone, come, let's go to Sri Lanka. How can this rascal Ravana take away my mother Sita? I will kill him at once. Get all the army, he said. And so when all the soldiers got up and minister got up, they were all in dilemma. Where does he want to go? What to do? And then one of the Brahmins very intelligently said, my dear Lord, don't worry. Ravana is already killed by Ram. Don't worry, he's destroyed. Then he became very peaceful. They brought him back to normalcy. Like that. So he was like that in many occasions. Whenever he would hear about some danger for Lord Ram, he would cry. In one such occasion, actually, one Brahman who was reading for him, he told him that I will only read those sections which will give pleasure to my king. So he would read about Rama's Pattabhishekam. He would read nice sections of Ramayana so that he will always feel happy. So one day, he was absent because he was sick. He didn't come. But another Brahman was reading. So by mistake, he read that section. He said there is a war going on between Ravana and Ram. And Now there's a great danger because Ravana is employing all kinds of mystic powers and everything to destroy the army of Ram. Ravana is employing all that. So when he heard it, he became very disturbed and immediately got up. And this time nobody could stop them. He was going towards the ocean beach. Now there was a vast ocean in the front. He was almost very close to the ocean beach with all his soldiers and ministers and everyone. He said, now we are going to assist Lord Ram in his war against Ravan. And we will not return back unless Ravana is killed, he said. On the way his feet touched something. And he bowed down and saw, he moved the sand. And then from the sand came a beautiful golden deity of Lord Ram. And the deity of Lord Ram spoke to him. Lord Ram said, oh my dear devotee, where are you going so fast? Trying to cross the ocean to come and help me? I am already helped simply by your devotion. So there is no more Ravana. Ravana is already killed, don't worry. But because you are endeavoring to cross the ocean to come and assist me in my war against Ravan, I will cross over this ocean of nescience, material existence for you, and I will take you back to my spiritual abode of Ayodhya. Lord Ram said like this. Then he cried tears and he fell unconscious in transcendental ecstasy. And he took this deity and he worshipped the deity with her. So in this way, one may be apparently surrounded by wife, children, family and everything. But if one's transcendental consciousness is awakened, then all these things mean nothing for such a person. Again, I am remembering Tukaram, how he always was affectionate to his wife, but he never became attached. Isn't it? He was affectionate to his wife and children and family, apparently. But he never became attached, he never became angry. He never had to fear the family and relatives and friends and attachment and everything, because he was always transcendently situated. So Vrajavasis are like that. For them, wife, children, family, relatives, friends make sense only as long as they are engaged in Krishna's service. And they use them all in Krishna's service. Very wonderful. So Brahma is here glorifying the Vrajavasis, wanting to take that dust on his head. After having learned the pure devotion with which they are serving the Supreme Lord Krishna. So from Brahma's prayers we can learn how we should worship the Vrajavasis and keep them at the highest pedestal in our heart, so that someday we will achieve the stage of spontaneous love for Krishna, which is pure and unmotivated, which is the highest type of worship and devotion that one can ever achieve. Thank you very much. Grantrashama Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhaktavinda ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Ramachar class.